Yes, you may turn it on now. All rituals, all practices, things of tantric nature are not allowed to be recorded unless they have my permission. If they are recorded without my permission, or in any case in Lama's permission, those transmissions have no power, and there will be a downfall on the tantric realms. A downfall. So do not take it very lightly. Do not put your things away sarcastically or slowly, because the Lama told you to put it away. You put it away immediately, because it will be a downfall on your tantric commitment if you were to record or to write or do anything without permission. And, as usual, some of you will not believe me. If you look at any tantric text on the front English, you read at your own risk. So by doing that, you create a downfall in your own vows. So be very alert and very aware of the tantric teachings. I am very strict on tantra, very strict, and I don't play the fool. And those of you who know me more than one day or one year, you should know that also. So do not play the fool with tantra with me. Any recording, any type of writing, any type of anything you want, even video, you must have my explicit permission. Explicit, do not assume. Do not record and say, oh, we can erase it later. No. It's a tantric infraction. Remember that. Alright, now, I have a list of things I want to talk about. I'm sure you wrote it nicely for me and, you know, to present it. I'm sure it's not your little scribbly ugly notes because, you know, you like me. Oh, you did? You get lost now. Could you rewrite it neatly real fast?
Yeah.
Oh my, my. With this like that, we're going to move fast. Yeah, right, quick, 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 quick. I saw that. Did everybody see Joe having a drink without my permission? Take a look at him, David. Give him a dirty evil. I'm holier than thou, but I didn't drink without permission, and you did. Come on, give me one of those cookies. Hurry up. Oh my God. they do that at some of the dharma retreats we had in America. I had this lady, I don't want to say her name because I yelled at the song, you know, for philosophy. Anyways, she was extremely wealthy. And she was extremely devoted to Lama Yeshi and Lama Soba. She still is, as far as I know. I don't know, she works somewhere in America. And this is Jewish lady. Very, very nice Jews who became Buddhist. And, oh, I'm getting so bad by now. Anyways, she's everywhere. She's in every teaching. She's in every place, every Dharma talk. But she's very devoted. She's not there to show off. She's really devoted. And what happens to this is that, but she's very particular. Everything you do must be perfect. Everything must be correct. And she was very tight. And she was very stiff and very hard. She was extremely smart. You know, she could do mandala. She could do everything that, like a real Tibetan, you know, lama. And she did it perfectly. She did a ritual. She did a sadhana. Everything she did perfectly. But she was very uptight and a lot of anger. So if you didn't do something right, she would shout. She would scream. And she would throw her shit at you. So the center, it was very strange because here you are attending Dharma talks and doing mantras and serving the lama. And behind you're shouting and screaming at it. So I thought, weird. You know, I thought it was weird, but I was like 18, 17, I dare not say anything weird, but I wanted to be shouted, but then I grew out of that. Anyways, she didn't say much to me because I was the personal attendant to his whole sovereignty, so if she wanted to see him, she had to, go through me. You know, one time I was washing dishes in the kitchen, and to go to sovereignty, you had to go past me. There was one German lady, very rich. She'd come into teaching with helicopters. So we'd be in some part of LA, or we'd be in some part of like, LA County. She'd actually fly in on a helicopter. A man, come for teaching, and then she'd fly. She'd do that all the time. I don't know, big, whatever, superstar. Her name is Ingrid. She's a nice lady, actually. So one day, big, rich Ingrid, beautiful, ex-model, German, spoke 5-6 languages, very intelligent lady. Very, I mean, very. And anyway, one day I was washing dishes in a little runaway, was washing dishes in the kitchen, blah, 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 whatever, you know. And I saw this, I swear to God, the corner of my peripheral vision, you know. I saw Ingrid in the back with her heels. She had all these fabulous clothes on, and she had these heels, and she was rich and jewelry. And I saw her behind me like this. I swear to God, I was like, wow. And she was like trying to go behind me, and I was like, where are you going, Ingrid? She was like, oh. She said, I'm going to, then she became very indignant. She said to me, I'm going to go see Sovereign Bocchi, and you can't stop me. I said, I'm not going to stop you. I just want to make sure there's nobody up there so they don't listen to your secret conversation. She goes, oh. And then she says, anyways, you people in the center always want power. She speaks very good English with a slight German accent. And she's like, and you know, I'm tired of all these games. I'm a sponsor of Rinpoche, and I can go in and see him when I want. And some more, I flew all the way from Germany. So I was rolling my eyes, watching the dish, like, I've heard it all. And tried all kinds of it. And she says, I need to see Rinpoche now. And I said, look. And she was screaming at me, you know, very indignant. And I said to her, look, you don't have to scream at me. I'm a slave. I'll go up and I'll take a look. If Rinpoche's free, I'll ask him. If he's not, I can't just let you go run up and down. I said, why? Number one, you're a woman. What's this thing about being a woman? Am I going to sleep with Rinpoche? And I said, no, that's not the point. I said, it's Tibetan etiquette. Women don't go into Rinpoche's room alone. It's not that you'll jump on sovereignty and rape him. She goes, this woman thing, it is unfair. Women don't have the same opportunity in Tibetan Buddhism as men. And I was like, oh, God, would you save it with a feminist crap? And she went on and on and on, and she was very passionate. She didn't say this to get me. She was very passionate. She was very, very passionate. And you know what? I forgot to tell you, she speaks perfect. And reads and writes perfectly today. Perfectly. She memorizes languages. She would go up to sovereignty and go through the sadhanas with him, be questions, and all that stuff, and commentaries, and read some verbs, and write into that outline. Yeah, that's how intelligent this lady was. Anyways, so I said, I'm very sorry, I don't mean any disrespect, I know you're a great sponsor, I know you're a great help, great devotee, I'll go find out, I want to sit at sovereignty. And then, Sensuanchu came down, the assistant, and blah, 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 and then she went to him, and she went up there, had an audience with me for about 45 minutes, she was very happy. She goes, thank you very much. And she went on and on and on. I wanted to throw a banana peel, but never mind about that. Be nice. And she left. And after that, we became friends. And then she liked me a lot. She says, I think you can be a mortal. So one day she came and slapped on a whole bunch of makeup on me and took pictures of me outside. Moments like that, like that, like that. And she drove me around her little two-seater Mercedes. And, you know, I was like, ooh. Now she likes me. And then we became okay friends. Not bad at all. That's after I caught her sneaking by. Can you believe that? Sneaking by. I caught her. And I have this karma. I always get in a situation with people like that. You know, I'm not the one that, you know, it just, I don't see it or they can do this. Always I get caught. It's not the first time. All the time. All the time. Very, very, very uptight. And very, very intelligent. Extremely anguishing. Extremely volatile. And oh my God. She will shout at the top of her lungs are the people that she likes. And that's the people she likes, by the way. Because I got it a few times. And she told me she liked me. Actually, I know she liked me. After a while, I shot back, but I put up with it all the time. She would shout and scream and shout and scream. And the most petty, stupid, ridiculous things. And then we became very good friends. And we never shouted again. I don't know what happened. We became very good friends. I always knew her. She was very, very good in ritually, you know, inward, I don't know, tantric practices. She was very good. Can you imagine this? German lady back in the 80s, speak perfectly, read and write into that book. Just imagine that. She'll sit in teaching, she'll listen to sovereignty, just gets absorbed. And she understands him perfectly into that. She doesn't have to wait for practice. Perfect. She didn't stay in some monastery and study, she just said, I want to. She said to me, I learned this so that I can get Dharma directly, so that I don't have to go practice this because, you know, it's not authentic. Can you imagine that? Just on her own. You know how she did it? Oh, she translated to the UN also, now I She worked with the United Nations. I don't know where she is. I'm sure she's in Germany somewhere. In any case, she just got books. Tibetan books. And she started studying her own. That's how she did it. She didn't wait for anybody. She didn't look. Nothing. She's the type that just does it. Very powerful Vajrayogini lady. Very powerful Vajrayogini energy. Very, very powerful. Actually, you know, she was a great Vajrayogini practitioner as far as I can remember. Something like that. Anyway. Okay, alright, we've reached a stage where our organization needs to grow. The obstacles for it to grow is over. So whether we do business, whether we expand the center, whether we we expand the temple, whether we expand our retreats, whether we expand our personal work for Dharma, we will definitely grow. The ingredients is consistency, stable consistency, and knowledge, behavior, outlook. There is no reason why our organization will not grow from now. There is no reason. It will grow. 5 years, I was given by the Great Protector, told me, literally all of us to lie low. And now it's all the way. So those of us who are still sleepy, those of us who still is not alert, so those of us not pushing ourselves to move ahead, well, you're not going to be able to collect so much merit, and you're not going to be able to be involved directly until you wake up and you become alert. What we need to do is, very important is the way we dress, very important, the way we talk, the way we act, and the example we give other people. Karmically, there is no reason why we will not expand and grow karmically. No reason. The only reason it will be delayed is by our own actions and by the way we behave. And most important is how we behave with each other. How we behave with each other is going to make us grow. Why? We can be, I'm not talking about just other Dharma students. A, it starts with people, with our families, with our wives and husbands, with our brothers and sisters, with our kids, with our partners, with our co-workers. How we behave with each other is very, very important. And when I say behave, I don't mean that your little kids are nasty and you're fighting. I don't mean that way. I mean to break the habituation of the way we usually talk. I'll tell you why. If we don't break this habituation the way we usually talk, we're being hypocritical. It's hypocrisy. Why? If we don't talk nice with the people that are sitting right next to us and living in our own house, our wives and husbands, and we don't transform that, how do we expect to transform on the outside? So if we cannot talk nicely with our own people, if we start talking with outside people, it's hypocrisy. And that will not add to our practice. As I said many times, practice starts at home. Dharma starts at home. Home meaning where? Ourselves and the people around us. Then we expand. So you would say, what does that have to do with the organization growing? Everything. Everything. Why everything? Because if we don't talk correctly with the people around us and we don't start training with the people around us, when do we expect to start training? With the people that we see once in a blue moon? With the people that we see once in a while? No. We have to start talking very nicely and very kindly and very respectfully. And we have to change our habituation the way we've been talking with the people very close to us, that we've been talking for the last 1 year, 5 years, 20 years, 30, 50 years, whatever. We have to. If we don't do that, that awareness will not be there. When that awareness will not be there, the minute something goes wrong, we're going to throw a BM. And that has a very bad image on the outside. That's a bad image for you as a Yidam. Those of you who are doing tantric practice. As a Yidam, it's very bad. Do you know why? You are denying who you really are. Each time you sink down into the low depths, you deny who you are. So each time you do that, the other person that you're trying to get immediately gets it. And you feel satisfied. But in the end, you get it because you deny who you are. So if you are Yamataka, and you act un-Yamataka, then you bring yourself down on the lowest level, you will never be able to bring your family members and people close to you into Dharma. Never. Never. Why? Because you're only acting. You're only acting. People who are not acting, even people today, just meet on the streets that you bring into Dharma. Oh, yes. You see, you can eat dinner with a person. You can shout at a person. You can have sex with a person. You can fight with a person. You can punch a person. You can slap a person. You can tell a person off. If your motivation is Dharma, those people will come to Dharma. Why? Listen carefully. It is not the action. It is the intent. Then, if it's the intent, it must be intent that has been practiced for many years, maybe many lifetimes. So some people shout, they bring people to the Dharma. Some people shout, people run. Why is that? Because of intent that's been built up for many lifetimes and the power behind it. So what you do with a person doesn't really matter. I'm not saying throw caution to the wind. I'm not saying there's no vows. No. Example. His Holiness Tetsu Sarangji was famous for shouting and beating and screaming. Famous. Not one or twice. If you did something wrong, you're the abbot, you're the head of the monastery, you're anyone. You would be called into Tetsu Sarangji's group. And he will slap you and beat you. And you know what? He'll have his attendants lock the door from the outside to make sure you can't run. Someone. Because he's older, he can't chase you. He will beat you and slap the crap out of you. But you will become much better at that. Of course, those kind of radical tantric actions we cannot do in countries such as Malaysia or America. Outside, people don't have that kind of understanding. They don't have that kind of understanding in order for their merits to purify. I'm sorry, their merits understand and to purify their karma so quickly. But there are lamas who have radical tantric actions who can shout at you, purify your karma, and who can slap you and beat you, literally punch you or slap you and make your mind clear. Why? Because of their intention. But outside countries, we can't do things like that. I'll tell you why. People don't accept. People don't know, and they don't have the merits to purify the feet. It will be faster from a high tantric practitioner to get a slap very hard than to do a Vajrasattva retreat. So if your lama is so kind that he will put himself in a position to slap you very hard, and then you accept, and you don't have any kind of negative thoughts, and you in fact submit, your karma will be pure. It will be like staying in a Vajrasattva retreat. Imagine Vajrasattva 100,000, how long that takes. But people don't have the merit to receive that. Why? They don't believe. They don't trust. And they don't push. How do they know? Because if the lama tells you to do something, you will do it whether he's watching or not. If the lama tells you, be nice, don't shout, don't fight, and you keep doing that, you don't feed the karma for the lama to purify your karma. You don't do it. So you do a retreat instead, the next step, and the next step, and the next step. Why? It becomes longer. Why does radical tantric action be able to do that? Because of your connection to the lama. And if you have created pain to someone, the pain comes back to you anyway. But the lama can make it manifest very fast, very, very fast, very, very quickly. Why? Many lifetimes of absorbing people's pain. You see, when we absorb people's pain, it isn't that their problems come to you and then you just suffer it. When you absorb people's pain, on the most highest absolute level, you are patient with them. You accept their calls. And even though they disappoint you and break their promise with samayas, and they always lie to you and they're hypocritical, and no matter how many times you tell them don't, you still patiently teach them and help them and be kind to them. And you have patience with them. On the highest absolute level that is accepting other people's pain. Why? Normal people, 1, 2, 3 strikes, they're out. They're out. Nobody would put up with lies. In business, if you lie, you get a bad reputation. Immediately, they'll spread out in the market. She's a liar. He's a liar. He doesn't pay. He doesn't do this. Immediately, spread in the market. In a relationship, if you cheat on your relationship, everybody knows. He's a cheater. He's a womanizer. She's a prostitute. She's a slut. She sleeps around. Immediately. Then if you don't take care of your kids, in other countries, they call people in to check on you. So any place, in the village, if you do something wrong, you steal, you have a reputation. Not only you, your whole family. Now, that's the parents of the stealer. So in business, we cannot lie. We cannot break our commitments. We cannot break our promises. Why? Then you don't get money. In relationships, you can't do that. Why? And you don't get a beautiful wife, a beautiful husband that will love you. You give you support and comfort. You cannot cheat. For your kids, they lose your respect, and when they grow up, they become monsters. They don't care about you. In life, if you break the commitment, and you break the samaya, what's a commitment? What's a samaya? Samaya is a promise you make. Nobody respects you. When you don't have people's respect, what happens? You can't move on in life. Whatever you do, have more obstacles. Why? People don't believe you. People don't trust you. Why? Because you keep breaking your promise. So if in life, just for one short life, we can't keep our commitments to our friends, to our parents, to our children, to our wives, to our husband, to ourselves, even our commitment to myself, we cannot keep. How to do spiritual practice? Because your commitments that you keep in one life is just for this life. It's for your happiness of this life, happiness of this life. What about commitment to God? All future. All future loves. This life and future life. And not only that, remember something. Dharma commitments and samaya, tamdik, is also affecting everybody around you directly. When you bring your commitment to your guru, you think, oh my god, I have this, I have that. I shouldn't have done that. You see, you have to understand something. You have to understand something very clearly. When you go to Genpo Hanman and you take $1 million to gamble, you can win $10 million back or you can lose it all. That's a gamble. But you don't blame Genpo Hanman if you lost money. So you don't blame your guru if you're taking commitments. Because no one twisted your arm around to take commitments. No one put your gun to your head to go get initiation. You yourself want to get initiation. Some of us got Yamataka, some of us got Vajigini, some of us got Hiruka, some of us got Manjushri, some of us got Refuge, some of us got Bodhisattva, some of us got Kalachakra. No one twisted your arm. In fact, we run around advertising people, oh, I was very lucky, I got this initiation, I got that practice, right? No one twisted you. No one forced you to go into the Dharma. So don't say, oh, Dharma commitments are difficult. Don't talk about Guru devotion is difficult. Don't talk about 50 stanzas are difficult. Don't talk about all of that. You see, in life, if you don't keep your commitments, you don't move ahead. Why? Your bad reputation. Whatever your motivation. Because people say, I didn't mean it that way. It doesn't matter if you mean it that way or not. You see, you don't go through the rest of your life telling people, I didn't mean it that way. I didn't mean that. Why am I misunderstood? Why don't they understand what I'm trying to do? Why? Don't talk about all that. Your actions speak louder than words. You see, 5 billion people on this planet don't have time to check you out and see what kind of person you are inside. But they still be outside. Very simple. So if you break commitment in business, you will lose. You will lose your reputation. You will lose your name. You will lose your fortune. You will lose your fame. And you know what? If people are nice to you, they'll turn around and get you back. You know why they get you back? Because you broke your commitment and they're angry. And you may have broken your commitment because your grandmother was in the hospital, your father was in the hospital, your mother, your wife, your kids, everybody's in the hospital, and you know, you have to take $1 billion out and pay for their medical bills. And you know what it is like that if you someplace, Singapore, oh God, America? You lose a fingernail from the cost of your arm and a leg. My point? Nobody cares. Nobody thinks about that. And it's unfortunate. And you don't keep blaming the world. Why? You have to understand that it is you. So when you break a commitment, when you promise to do something, and you make that commitment, and you don't do it, your commitment and your samaya goes political path. And in all the spiritual practices, especially in the protective practice, is at the beginning of the practice, because the sattva is very long, and we have to actually do practices to purify, meditation to purify. And let me tell you something. When our broken commitments are very big and very strong, this is what happens, alright? It becomes a one geshe, explained it to me from the commentary of Lord Bodhisattva, and this applies to all deities, written by His Holiness Kedichujan Bodhisattva, that when we break our commitments, by the way, in the sadhana of Bodhisattva, there's not one, there's two places for confession. Two. That's how important it is. When you break your commitment, you bind the hands of your protector. And you cover his face. And you put some kind of, something strong over him, he cannot move. They have that kind of effect when you break your commitment. Okay? He's recording everything. Yeah, he's right. And next time, raise your hand. We're in a classroom. I'm the teacher. So you go, excuse me. He does that all the time. Raise your hand now. Oh, yellow shirt. I don't know his name. Anyway, I just gave him a yellow shirt. See, boy, don't need what he's not. GP. His name is JP. We got AT, we got JT, and we got TC. Yeah, Tashi is TC, what? Tashi Kadu? TC? I didn't make it up, that's the name TC. Or AEU? Yeah. Yeah, what? Andy? Wait! The first time I said it, you're not saying it right. I was like, I don't care, I'm not German, I'm sorry. I don't speak German. Too bad. And you're gonna get other names I say right. But he's used to that now.
me, I was just thinking to myself, are you trying to get a cockroach or something? Here, that's my secret, so, third one. And you sometimes think, oh, what's the secret about that? I can go buy a book and read it. Yeah, you can go read it, but the meaning behind it, you never understand, because it's orally transmitted. You never understand. So you just read it, what you see is nice. It's secret. Why is it secret? Because if you don't have the mind and the merit to understand, even you read it, you won't understand. You just simply won't understand. And if you understand, if you think you understand, you won't go in, you can't practice. That's why it's secret. It's not secret because you can't see or get it. It's secret because you have to have the necessities to understand it. Okay? Then? Second part. Venerable Losan Chapa. Venerable Losan Chapa, Lama Tsongkhapa. Peaceful and wrathful Manjushris, all. Root and lineage gurus and hosts of deities. An assembly, and especially the Dhammapala, mighty, wrathful Vajra, Vajushupin. Please listen to me in your great compassion. So invoking Lama Tsongkhapa, all the fierce and peaceful Manjushris. And your guru, and the host of meditational deities, and especially the Lord Shivan himself. Please listen to me in your great compassion. Completely oppressed by my obscuring ignorance and thus powerless, my mind stirred up by violent attachment, aversion, and thus unconscientious, each of my massive sins and downfalls and faults, I confess them from my heart, quickly, cleanse them, please. Torn asunder the limits of my Bhakti Moksha vows, receive before the eyes and abbots and masters and the Sangha. These are vows we receive before our masters, before the Sangha and the meditational deities. When the Lama gives you vows, you have to understand something. They don't just give you vows. They are in the form of a meditational deity, and the three jewels are surrounding the Sangha, especially for refuge. So when you take these vows by the power of the Lama's meditation, you are taking in front of the three jewels. So when you break a commitment to your Lama, you break it to all the three jewels. Why is that? Is that if you keep your commitment, you merit in reference to all creatures. Imagine that. You please all the Buddhas by keeping the laws. So it's not a black belt kind of thing. It's trying to help you. It's trying to help you. Transgress, torn asunder the limits of Pratima Shiva, you see before the eyes of the abbots, master's tongue. Abbots doesn't necessarily mean abbot of a monastery. Abbot also means one who is a preceptor, one who holds the vows and gives you the vows. Okay? Transgress the precepts of bodhicitta. The minute we yell at someone that's been kind to us, we break our bodhicitta vows. We can apologize the next day, the next hour, the vows break. You take yourself away from who you are. And that's in modern terms. Who you are is the Buddha nature. That's who you are. Vows taken before the eyes of the Gurus, Buddhas, and Bodhisattvas, thrown away the close bond of vow commitments received, which were witnessed by the Gurus and deities of the Mandala. A whole assembly of such prescribed and natural evil, sin, downfalls, and falls, I confess my heart and I cleanse them, please. Let me read it again together. Don't write all this down. I will pass this all to you. Please pay attention. It's more important, all right? All of this is not to be written down. It's to be listened to. Torn asunder the limits of the Pratimosha vows, received before the eyes of the abbots, masters, and sangha, transgress the precepts of bodhicitta, vows taken before the eyes of the gurus, buddhas, and bodhisattvas, thrown away the close bond of vow commitments received, which were witnessed by the guru and the deities of the mandala, the whole mass of prescribed and natural evil downfalls. And falls. I confess in my heart, quickly cleanse them, please. This is what you're confessing to Buddha Shukin. Lama Tsongkhapa, Manjushri, Nyamataka, Halalupa. This is what you're confessing. I'll tell you why you confess that. Let me tell you why. When you break your vows, or you break your samaya, you throw away the closeness you have with three jewels. The first time is you go away from your lama. You're afraid to see your lama, you avoid your lama, or you're shy to see your lama, or you have negative thoughts about your lama. You just go away. That's the first time. Then, when you try to do dharma work, you want to, you intend to, and you like to, but you can't. Every time you try to do dharma work, there's some obstacle. Something, a meeting comes up, a friend gets sick, you know, your mother calls you, someone throws a BF, your cat dies, something happens. You can't do it. And you're all, and then negative things that kill your time, not negative things, normal things that kill your time, you get distracted away very easily. Or go see a movie, go sleep, cannot sleep home, cannot relax, cannot read. Even if you want to read, you fall asleep. That second will come very, very strong. Why? Everything to prevent you. And then even if you're able to do that, no result. Why? You can see yourself not advancing in practice. Why? These vows are not meant to hurt you. But when you swear your vow to the three jewels, and when you break it, every single day that you break it, every day, it's not a one-time break thing, you know. Every day that it remains broken, you heal from your karma. Every single day. So if you've broken your commitment to your guru, and you've broken your promise, you don't confess it, you don't talk, you don't make up for it. Every single day, every day, you collect negative karma. So that means if you're not supposed to fight or shout, and you shout, or let's say you make a promise to your lama, oh, I will attend to do a $100,000 retreat. Okay? The Buddha's name is $100,000. So I'm going to attend this retreat. And you don't. And the reason is very flimsy. Every day that you don't, and every time you avoid it, you collect that negative karma. So don't think it's a one-time thing. Once you break the cup's broken. Almost every day it's broken again and again. And you know what happens? When you have Vinaya vows, Bodhicitta vows, and Tantric vows, let me also tell you, not only is it broken for that day, the vows that you broke yesterday become double. Yes. So what happens? You become sick, you become sleepy, you become frustrated, you get everything that you're bad in, everything you're not good in, becomes small. So if you have a hot temper, it becomes small. Why? It's the best way to calm down to come back and make you go down to three lower rungs. Let me tell you something. About one third of the people in our center after they die, will go to the three lower realms.
That is my point.
Don't look at this person, don't look at that. Don't look at people who you think they'll go. It could be the most innocent person you think, the nicest person. 1/3 of the people in our center will go to the three lower realms. I guarantee and I promise you. You go after protectors, you go after Dalai, you go after Mumbai. Rinpoche said that. Check divination. Go check. I have no fears. I will not say things like that. 1/3. And within that 1/3, there's a few who are actually tantric practitioners. They'll go to the field or else Mumbai.
Immediately.
They will go. And they will be there for a long time. And they'll stay there and they'll take rebirth again. Another three lower realms and again. It won't be like you go there once you come up. It'll be again and again and again and again.
Oh yes.
1, 2. Yes, that's right. 3. Again and again. About 5 to 6 people in this room, when they die, they will go to the lower realms. They will go. I'm not talking about bad rebirth as a human. I'm talking about 5 to 6 people in this group. When they die, I guarantee you. And there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can say. When they're alive and they don't listen to me, if they're dead, I'll be gonna listen to me. 5 or 6 people in this room, when they're dead, they will go to the three lower realms. And the people who go to the three lower realms are the ones I keep very close to me. And I give them gifts and I help and I talk to them and I'm patient. Why? The less than the time will be there. Why is that? How can that be? Because if they're not around me, there'll be more negative karma. More negative peace. Very negative. You see, sitting there doing nothing, feeling sorry for yourself is negative karma. Why? You let that ego grow. It's ego. You don't have to go and kill. You don't have to go to the Iraqi war and shoot people. You don't have to do that. You can sit in your room and feel sorry for yourself and be complacent and do absolutely nothing. And outwardly to people who don't have wisdom, do not do anything bad. But because you're rehabituating who you're not in the life of me, you'll have a hand of your heart. Sitting in a room with attachment, you could have negative karma on a very subtle. Tamu. Tamu pile. Tale means very subtle karma. Subtle. Raka pile means very rough karma. Tale is very subtle karma, which is the most powerful. Why? Listen carefully. When you just sit there, I have money, it's mine, I'm not going to use it. I it's my wife, it's my lover. It's my house, me. I want to do me. I don't want to do this, I'm me. And you don't say anything. You don't go and hit people, you don't yell, you don't scream, you don't shout, you don't do anything. You don't do anything. But sitting there, eating, watching TV, and just shitting, and you know, cleaning yourself, washing, you know, cooking, you collect negative karma. And that negative karma is very subtle. You know why? Because you're not existing with freedom from samsara. You're existing within samsara, increasing your samsara, because everything you think and everything you operate comes out of the projected, dualistic, self-grasping mind. Everything comes out of me. So you may be a very nice housewife. You may be a very nice house husband. You may be a nice son, daughter, whatever. But to all outer appearances, you have the reputation you're nice. You are, according to the world. But on a very universal, absolute level. It's not that you're nice or not nice. This type of action will bring you to the three lower realms. So don't talk about nice. Don't talk about not nice. It has no definition on the absolute realm. On the absolute realm, on the absolute level, on the absolute. Feeding yourself, cherishing mind. Could only bring one reaction, one action, one result. More circumstances for your self-cherishing mind. So you may think, what else do you put on to people? I don't eat meat. You know, I don't yell at anybody. I fight with my wife and girlfriend or I fight with my boyfriend and husband once in a while. You know, I'm a good citizen. Yeah, wonderful. You are. But you see, those are good and bad made by culture and people who are not with wisdom. That's not absolute.
Buddha's talking about, now listen carefully, you collect negative karma just like this. Just like this. Why? You come from ignorance. You come from desire. And you come from attachment. You live within it. And you create it. And that's the cycle of ego. That's the cycle. So you may think, well, I take care of my family, you know, and I'm responsible, and I do this, and, you know, I work, and I support, and I'm doing Dhamma work, and I, you know, I clean up on my guru, and, you know, I cook, and, you know, I'm work, and I don't kill, I don't steal on the line, I'm a good person. You know, I got tantric initiation, and I got vows, and I go to the center, and I ring my bell once in a while, and, you know, and I'm a good person. You are. You are a good person. But there's no, that is just on a very basic level. But on an absolute level, absolute means what? Where there is no time, space, projection, color, and form. On an absolute level, where it's only mind. We are collecting karma that increases this type of existence. People don't understand. See, people say they want high teachings. They're not ready. People say they want advanced teachings. How? When you can't even do the basics. You don't even hold commitments. When you break your commitments, when you break your samaya, now listen carefully, when you break your guru devotion, when you break your samaya, you break your tantric vows, you break your bodhicitta vows, you break your refuge vows, when you break all these, it indirectly affects the absolute. Why? The little bit of merits you collect, by the time it gets over here, it's just dispersed. If we have a ladle of water, and I want to hit Maple, and I go like that, because she's so far away. By the time, you know, a few drops to hit her, but mostly hit people around here. But if she's very nearby, I can hit. Similarly, because we have collected so much karma from previous lives, and our previous lives are so huge. It's like throwing our positive karma, a little bit of 35 professional practices we do, a little bit of sadhana and mantras, a little bit of discipline we hold. When you go back to the absolute being, combined and dedicated, it's almost like just splattering, almost not reach there. And hence, that's why people who do dharma practice over a long period of time, a lot of people, you see them, no result, no difference. Why? They don't hold their vows. And the most saddest thing is this. Stay! The most saddest thing is that they actually can justify to themselves and other people that they're good and they're holding their vows. Why? They get away with it. Oh, I have to work. Oh, you know, they said this to me. Oh, I want to do this and I can't do this. You know, they make all kinds of excuses. But you have to stand on it. These are good for us. But our karma and existence is not on this level. It's on an absolute level. Existing creates negative karma. That's why Buddha says, the minute you're born, collection of negative karma starts. The very fact that a baby gives pain to its mother by sucking her breast is already a sign of its nature. It's not instinct. It is a habitual mind. How much pain we give from others, we don't care. As long as I get it. And for some of us, our lives, we suckle our mother. And why pain? You may think, well, it's the responsibility of God. But you already understand something. That's a very rough overview of negative karma. But on an absolute level, each time we break our vows, and what are vows? Vows are not something you swear in front of Buddha and then I never do again, or you swear on a Bible. It's not that. Vows are things that help us, guidelines that help us to go away from the self-cherishing mind. That is absolutely universal. That on every universe, in every planet, in every existence, kam sum, kam che, all three realms, form, formless, and desire, is acceptable as something that will take you away from the self-cherishing mind. So vows are not, I can do and I cannot do. Oh, I broke my vow. No! That's on a very relative, very basic, childish level. That's why Mama Sita's By chugging chungbap, they can do everything backwards. They can drink sake all day. They can be drunk all day. They can have sex with two women openly. They can do anything they want and they don't collect any negative karma. It's not because they are manasiddhas. They're operating from the absolute level. What's the absolute level that these rules don't apply anymore? Why does it not apply anymore? Because it doesn't arise from the self-cherishing mind. There's a difference. That's why this type of thought is the most highest esoteric teachings. Why? Only a few people can understand that. That's why if you teach Tantra, very small groups can understand it. First secret. For basic Hinayana and Mahayana, if you talk about this, you can't. Oh, a Lama? A Lama dream. How can? Oh, a Lama disrobe. How can? Oh, a monk. Oh, a master. A master. Oh, use money by a furniture. Oh, cannot. Oh, I saw the master Ikea. Oh, everybody freaked out. Oh. I saw Lama in a disco. Cannot. Why? These people don't operate on that level. So what I'm trying to say is, actions is not the point, but at our level, actions is the point, which leads to no action. Why? The absolute level is beyond us right now. Right now. But you see, if we cannot achieve that level, the Buddha wouldn't have even taught about it. It's because we can't achieve it the Buddha taught. So, every day that we exist, never mind the vows and all that stuff. Let's say you never heard about Buddhism. Let's say you never heard about Dharma. Let's say you never heard about anything. Nothing at all. You know nothing about Dharma Buddhism at all. You're still not exempt from negative karma. And every day you exist, the three lower realms exist. The three higher realms exist. The formless realm exists. The desire realms exist. Virjay become desire realm. Sumay become formless realm. Sukham, form realm. All of this, whether you are Buddhist, or whether you accept or not, or whether you're a wild animal, whether you're an insect, whether you're an amoeba, it all exists because it's absolute. What is absolute? What is absolute? Absolute means things that exist on its own accord without us having to put rules on it, or projections, or barriers, and borders, and posts. You see, in our world, we say, you're yellow, you're black, you cannot do this, you're female, not you're male, you cannot. We make up these rules. You have to marry at this age. If you're a man, you're supposed to do this. If you're a boy, you're supposed to do this. If you're a Dharma student, you're supposed to do this. If you're a housewife, you're supposed to do this. You're supposed to. These are rules made up on a very basic, fundamental level by people who are blind. Us and our forefathers. These are all blind rules followed. That's supposed to bring us happiness. That's why no one's happy. In the world, no one's happy when they follow these rules. But if you don't follow these rules, there is no rules, so you're not happy. Why in samsara? There's no this way, there's no that way. There is no happiness in samsara. None. None at all. So each time we break our vows, happily, and then we immediately, oh, I'm sorry. You see, your sorry has no effect. And in fact, it increases your vows, your breakage. I'll tell you why. Every time you break your vow, and you say, I'm sorry, then it seals it. Why? You let yourself know how you do it. That's why people who say, I'm sorry, very fast, they don't make a change for themselves, they seal the action. What is the seal? How you do it. On a relative level, the person's okay with you. On an absolute level, oh, I'm purifying my karma one. I'm an opposite. Oh no. Oh no. Very dangerous. 1/3, maybe a little bit more, of the people in our center will go to three lower realms. Some places is much more. Definitely. I don't need clairvoyance to see that. I know the scriptures, so I can look at the actions, and I can see how they operate. When I watch people's outer actions, I basically know their minds, and how they operate, what they do, how aware they are, how they move, how they talk, what their focus, their clarity. I can tell you basically how their mind is and what their level is. In this room, I can point to people who are going to go to three lower realms very clearly. And you know what? If you ask someone with power, more she or clairvoyance or one of Dharma protectors who takes trance, they will not say no more. I guarantee you. That's how accurate I am in knowing the scriptures and looking at the person. Just like someone who knows cars very well, when they go look at cars, they know which is right. They just open the hood and they say, oh, yeah, help me. Why is that? Because they trained themselves for years. Trained themselves. So it's like they have clairvoyance. It's like, oh, they open the root, they say, oh, no. They come, they tell you like that, and you listen, go, wow, how'd you know that? Wow! He can either trick you and say, you know, open the root, say, you know, I've got some powers. And my psychic tells you that blah, 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 the carburetor's off, whatever. But they know because it's so quick, they've seen it. So some lamas, they trick you and pretend they have clairvoyance because they're very quick and sharp. So it looks like clairvoyance. So they tell you things like that. Like I say, oh God, he's so uncanny. You know, he calls me right at the right time. He does this at the right time. He does everything just like, wow. And like, you know what? Maybe Tamarin, she's actually Muho. Maybe he's tripping Jumba number two. You think that maybe he's enlightened. Well, you know what? If you know the scriptures well, it's like the car salesman who looked at an engine test one. It's like the lights. I can look at a person, hang around with them, talk to them for a little while. I know what's going to happen to them. Oh, I know. Do not think it's a joke when I tell you that 5 to 6 people in this room will go to 3 level ups. Do not underestimate you. And the rest of you don't think, cool, 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 because the rest of you may take rebirth in the human realm. Don't think it will be a pleasant rebirth. There will be very few of us in this group who actually take another rebirth in a pleasant place. I promise you. Very few. You can either take rebirth in horrible places on this planet, horrible. You can enjoy yourselves now. You can be as nasty as you want, or you can be as nice as you want, you can be as hypocritical as you want. You can keep holding yourself and holding who you really are. Live it up for a little while. Be happy for a little while. Every single day you live will be one day closer to that next existence. Trust me, if in your previous lives you had seen this existence, you would have been scared. You would have been scared. Don't think what you have right now is fabulous. It's not. It's not fabulous. It's not the worst. It's not the worst. The good part about our existence is that our suffering is to the point where we can still rise above it a little bit for a short time to do Dharma work, the Dharma actions. Stay! Stay! Mumu stay! Sangha stay! Mumu not stay, Mumu bad boy, stay! Stay! Bad boy! Sangha bad boy, stay! Not stay, bad boy! So my point is this, is don't sit there comfortable with your jewelry, in your house, in your rings, in your wife, in your husband. Don't. Time is of the essence for some of us. Time is of the essence. You may think, oh, well, I'm young. You're young, but the people you love are not. Time is of the essence. Many of us will take negative rebirths. And you think, well, why not that? Then what are you doing, Rinchi? Well, this one kept his Sarnchi before Yamakata teaching told us. He told us this. I give you Yamakata not because I expect you to be enlightened. Oh, he's very direct. I give you Yamakata because most of you go to the hell realms. She said hell realms. But when you come out, you have the infants of Yamakata in mind. So during the age of Maitreya, it will open. Imagine the age of Maitreya. You know how many aeons are that away? Gyalajava Peva Kabla Chiranti Vacha see you. When the great Maitreya appears, hopefully your heart will open his own side. He can't take. He didn't give us initiation hoping we'll do something now because he looked at us. Oh no, don't shake your head. Shake it to yourself. Shake it to yourself. Each time you're selfish and you don't want to give money and help. Each time. And even when you don't get asked and you say no or yes, doesn't matter. Just having that mind, I will not give, I will not give, I will not give, will create positive for the field of love. Just living well. Even nobody asks you, can you give me some money? Can you give me some food? Can you give me a house? Can you give me this? Can you give me that? Can you give me... And you don't have to say no. No one asks you. But just living there and holding every day on an absolute level, it makes you closer to the self-charity.
Oh yes.
So don't think you get all stuck free. And then if we think that we're holding tantric vows and we know how to do some rituals and we know how to do some pujas and we can do this and we can do that, you know, if we think that we can do this and this and this and that and that. You can do rituals, you can do pujas, you can translate, you can write, you can read, you can do dharma sales, you know, you can do all these things. It's wonderful. So remember something. It's like drawing a glass of water at the absolute. Let me give you another example. Our previous lives and the karma we have accumulated is like the Pacific Ocean. From California all the way to China. From the north, all the way from the North Arctic to the South Arctic, Antarctica. That huge body of water, and in the center, this water is so deep and so much that people have not penetrated the depths yet because the pressure is too much and it's very dark and deep. That kind of karma, and that's just very basic, okay? It's what we've accumulated in name from the karma previous lives. And I'll tell you why. How you can check is you check your mind. How often does it abide in self-charity on a very absolute level and on a fundamental level are negative thoughts? They're wrong, I'm right. You check. So if your thoughts are more towards the negative, you're more selfish, you're more greedy, you're calculative, you know, you're angersome, and you can't control your negative body, speech, and mind, you can't control. That proves to you that your ocean may be double or triple. And then you do a little bit of sadhana, just a little bit of sadhana, a little bit of writing for Rinpoche, a little bit. And even that little bit took so much coaxing. And your little bit of prayers, and your little bit of cheap retreats, and your little bit of cheap mantras, and then once a year maybe you do sadhana because your guru was nice to you and you decided to do it. That is just one little cup of merit. Then you pour into the black ocean. How do you expect it to become white in there? And that's what we do every day. So if you live for, you know, 67 years, every single day, that's maybe, you know, 1 million cups of water. I don't know. I'm just an estimation, you know. Do you think that's going to make the ocean white? No, that's how much we do. And even what we do for the Dharma is stained by the 8 worldly faults of pride, recognition. The 8 worldly Dharma. So why do you, what do you think will happen to all of us? And what do you think? A lama or a guru is likened to a butter lamp in the dark in a windy room. Paul, please stay awake. One more time, I'll ask you to go sleep. It's very bad karma for you, very bad. Don't increase it. Stay awake. A lama is like a butter lamp. Chim it in a room that's very, very windy. What does that mean to you? A candle in the night. That's how a lama is for us. For some of us who have 50 verses of guru devotion, a lama is like a blowtorch in a room with wind. For a person who actually surrenders himself to the lama, surrender means what? They keep their body, I just do anything you want. You know, you can kill me or whatever, but they don't let go of the ego. That's not surrender. Living near the lama, you can even live in the lama's house and you can give everything, you do everything. You give all your money to him, you can give your body, you can give everything. But if you don't surrender to self-cherishing your mind, you are not surrendering to your lama at all. Surrendering to the lama is on many levels, but on the fundamental level is you see immediate improvement in yourself. When you haven't surrendered, you just go down, 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 down. One, two, on an absolute level. When you surrender to the Lama, on an absolute level, listen carefully. You surrender to the real Lord and find yourself cherishing on the canvas.
Why?
The vows become effortless for you. You see, you don't live by the vows. You live breaking the vows to people's eyes. Why? You see, in Lama Yeshe said, you break the vow not by action and not by object, by intent. Can you please get that book? You saw it just now? By Hiruka Vajrasattva on my desk. By Lama Yeshe. I don't know if you know it or not.
Oh, yes.
Breaking a vow, that's why breaking a vow is not action or object. It is intent. So monks can wear beautiful clothes, you know, robes, they action, wonderful, blah, 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 blah. And everything is perfect in the outside. But if they steal, and their intent is to steal, everything is perfect, they're not a monk anymore. They're not a monk.